Our scripture reading this morning comes from the last chapter of the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 40. We are very much nearing the end. As you can tell, we're on the last chapter today. And next week, I hope to preach a sermon on the whole book. And after that, we'll be finished. Exodus chapter 40, the verses 1 through 38. And let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. Place the ark of the testimony in it, and shield the ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs to it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the ark of the testimony and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. Consecrate the altar and it will be most holy. Anoint the basin and its stand and consecrate them. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then dress Aaron in the sacred garments, anoint him and consecrate him so he may serve me as priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics. Anoint them just as you anointed their father, so they may serve me as priests. Their anointing will be to a priesthood that will continue for all generations to come." Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him. So the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the first month of the second year. When Moses set up the tabernacle, he put the bases in place, erected the frames, inserted the crossbars, and set up the posts. Then he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering over the tent, as the Lord had commanded him. He took the testimony and placed it in the ark, attached the poles to the ark, and put the atonement cover over it. Then he brought the ark into the tabernacle and hung the shielding curtain and shielded the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded him. Moses placed the table in the tent of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the curtain and set out the bread on it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded him. He placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle and set up the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded him. Moses placed the gold altar in the tent of meeting in front of the curtain and burned fragrant incense on it, as the Lord had commanded him. Then he put up the curtain on the entrance to the tabernacle. He set the altar of burnt offering near the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and offered on it burnt offerings and grain offerings, as the Lord had commanded him. He placed the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it for washing. And Moses and Aaron and his sons used it to wash their hands and feet. They washed whenever they entered the tent of meeting or approached the altar, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard, and so Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, during all their travels. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from Exodus chapter 40. In the book of Exodus, there are two main dates that God gives that highlights two main events of the book.
When many people think of the book of Exodus, they only think of the first date and the first main event. And the second date and the second main event is often lost in the shadows. But as you will see today, the second date is just as significant. In fact, the second date is not completely separate from the meaning of the first date and event, but both of these dates and events are tied very, very closely together. The first date that God gives to his people is found in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we read that the Lord gives to his people a date. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household." And after that, you read the instructions for the Passover. The Israelites are living in Egypt. The Egyptians have the most accurate yearly calendar of any ancient people that we know of. Yet, as God is ready to deliver them from this land, their year and their first month is to be separate from what they have known in Egypt. The first month of their year, the first month of their lives as God's people, is to start with God's salvation. The Passover. God has brought the Passover to the people of Egypt so that God would free his people from slavery. God is giving instructions for the Israelites to slaughter the Passover lamb so that the blood of the Passover lamb may be upon their doorposts, so that the angel of death who goes throughout the land of Egypt will pass over their doorposts, and the firstborn of all of Egypt will die. God is using the Passover to redeem his people. When people think of the message of the book of Exodus, most often people will make the connection with the Passover, God's redemption for his people, God bringing his people out of slavery and bringing them to himself, God's salvation to his people. And in the Israelite calendar, as you see in Exodus chapter 12, this is to be the first month of their year. As they look back in the future to their beginning, they will think back to when it all started. It started at the Passover, the beginning of God's people, the beginning of his nation, his people, whom he has delivered and brought to himself. But there's another date given in the book of Exodus, a date that God is giving to his people. And there are a lot of people who, when they think of Exodus, they stop with the first date. I know of other ministers who have preached through the book of Exodus, and they shared with me that they stopped after chapter 20. They focused on the deliverance that God has given them. They focused on the Passover and God's salvation for his people and their deliverance from Egypt. But what about the second date? If you stop at Exodus chapter 20 or after Exodus chapter 12, you leave out a very important part of God's salvation for his people. This second date is given in Exodus chapter 40. And if you look at Exodus chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, you see this date given. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month.'" Look also at verse 17. "So the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the first month in the second year. God has delivered his people from Egypt. God has provided a Passover lamb that on the first month of their first year as a people, they were to celebrate their redemption from Egypt and their salvation. But that's not the full message of the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus also has to do with the way that God dwells with the people that he has saved. And if you notice, when this date is given and the event that is taking place, it is the date of the celebration of their first Passover. 1 year since the first Passover, as the Israelites are getting ready to celebrate their first Passover after they have been delivered from Egypt, exactly 1 year from the day of the first one, God now is ready to dwell with his people in this tabernacle. And so as you look at Exodus chapter 40, you see that it very much reflects what has gone on before in the words and the instructions concerning the tabernacle. The first 33 verses of Exodus chapter 40 are divided up into two sections. The first section, verses 1 through 15, God gives to Moses instructions as to how to set up the tabernacle. Now remember, in Exodus chapters 25 all the way through the end of chapter 39, God has instructed the people how to build the tabernacle, and we read that the people built the tabernacle exactly as God had said. In fact, at the end of chapter 39, verses 42 and 43, we read these words. The Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord had commanded, so Moses blessed them. So the Israelites have gone and built all the various parts of the tabernacle just as God has instructed. Everything is built, the carpenters have finished their work, and now in Exodus chapter 40, God instructs Moses to set up the tabernacle. Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. And all the way through verse 16, we read that God gives instructions as to how Moses is to set up the tabernacle. Verse 16 tells us, Moses did everything just as the Lord had commanded him. And then in verses 17 through 33, we read that after God gives his instructions in the first half of the chapter, verses 17 through 33, we read that Moses perfectly fulfills those instructions. Notice the amount of times that God tells us that it was done as the Lord commanded him. At the end of verse 19, it tells us, as the Lord commanded him. At the end of verse 21, as the Lord had commanded him. At the end of verse 23, as the Lord had commanded him. At the end of verse 25, as the Lord had commanded him. At the end of verse 27, as the Lord had commanded him. At the end of verse 29, as the Lord had commanded him. And finally, at the end of verse 32, as the Lord had commanded him. 7 times that is repeated. 7 times we are told that it was done just as the Lord had commanded him. 7 times this tabernacle, which represents God's recreation, is patterned after God's first creation. Now remember, in last week's sermon, we showed how the reason God gives in chapters 25 through 31 of the book of Exodus all the instructions, and then in chapters 35 all the way through 39 he tells us how those instructions were fulfilled, is to pattern the fulfillment of them. God said it, And it was so. In creation, in Genesis 1, we read that God said it, and it was so. Now, in Exodus chapter 40, this same pattern is taking place through the setting up of this tabernacle. God has said it in the first part of the chapter, and we read it was so in the last part of the chapter. This tabernacle is God's recreation. This is the place of God's dwelling. Now notice, this is not a new creation. For God is again going to dwell with his people. God is redeeming his people, and God is redeeming the creation that he has provided. You see, God had previously dwelled with his people in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, God dwelled with man, God dwelled with Adam, and Adam ate of the tree and was forced to be put out of God's dwelling place. Since that time, no one has dwelled with God on the earth. God has not dwelled with man. God dwelled with Adam, but since Adam, up until the book of Exodus, God has not dwelled upon the earth with sinful man. And as the tabernacle is built and put into place, you see the way that God can once again dwell with man. The instructions tell us from the inside out that there are three areas to the tabernacle. Moses first sets up the Holy of Holies. Moses then sets up the holy place. Moses thirdly sets up the courtyard, verse 33. Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. Three dimensions to this tabernacle. Sinful man cannot enter the presence of God without sacrifices. As he is to go into the courtyard, a sacrifice is to be made at the entrance, and he can go in and be near the tabernacle. Sinful man cannot enter into the holy place. Only the priests can enter the holy place on their behalf, and only Aaron the high priest can enter the Holy of Holies. God's dwelling with his people must be through the forgiveness of sins. God's dwelling with his people must be through the sacrifice that God will provide for them. And so Moses sets up the tabernacle. And we read in verse 34 of Exodus 40 that the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This same cloud that was atop for Mount Sinai, this same cloud that stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites as they prepared to cross the sea, this same cloud that when Israel came to Sinai caused them to fear and to tremble, this same cloud which represents the presence of God, God's dwelling place, has come down to earth and is dwelling in this tabernacle that God has given his people, and he dwells with them upon the earth. What a glorious, glorious thing this must be. In fact, it is so significant that there are two dates given. The first date and main event in the book of Exodus is the Passover, God's deliverance to his people from slavery. The second main event, which must never be separated from the first one because they are so closely tied together, is God dwelling with his people upon the earth. But notice there is a difference here that is very much pointed out in verse 35. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is the same Moses who alone could go up the mountain to meet with God within the cloud. This is the same Moses who was in the cloud and received the Ten Commandments written by the very finger of God and came down the mountain to bring them to the people. This is the same Moses who spent 40 days and 40 nights atop the mountain within the cloud receiving the instructions for the building of the tabernacle. And now in verse 35, as God comes down upon the earth to dwell with his people, Moses cannot enter into the tabernacle because the cloud has settled upon it and the glory of the Lord has filled the tabernacle. Moses, as he lives in the camp, in the life of the Israelites, cannot function as their prophet, their priest, and their king. Moses can function as prophet. Moses can give leadership and direction as their king. But the priesthood is reserved for Aaron. In verse 12 of Exodus 40, we read that they are to bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and to wash them with water. Then dress Aaron in the sacred garments, anoint him and consecrate him so he may serve me as priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics. Anoint them just as you anointed their father, so they may serve me as priests. Their anointing will be to a priesthood that will continue for all generations to come. Moses serves as prophet. He brings God's word to his people. Moses gives leadership like a king. But the priesthood is reserved for Aaron. Only Aaron and his sons may enter the holy place. Only Aaron, the high priest, and later the high priest that follow, may enter into the Holy of Holies once a year, into the very throne room of God, and make the offering for their sins. Moses is not the true and complete mediator of God. You see, as Exodus chapter 40 concludes the book of Exodus, we are seeing a very glorious thing. We are seeing not only the fact that God has delivered his people, but that God dwells with his people upon the earth. But what we are seeing here in Exodus chapter 40 still pales in comparison to the beauty that God has sent to us with the coming of his Son. For his Son will fulfill all of the offices. His Son will be the Passover Lamb. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the glory of God as it has come upon this earth. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we read these words. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. Some of your translations say, the Word became flesh and tabernacled for a while among us. The interpretation of the Greek word is the same as what the Old Testament is known as the tabernacle. Jesus Christ has come, and Jesus Christ is the tabernacle. Jesus Christ has come to this earth, and he has been God's dwelling upon this earth. Jesus Christ has lived for a while among us. Sometimes we may think to ourselves, what a glorious thing it must have been to be there in the Old Testament, to see that cloud go off of Mount Sinai, and to see the tabernacle that we had just built, and to see how God brought that cloud right into the camp to be with us, his people. But in the coming of Jesus Christ, we have the full revelation of God. Jesus Christ was that cloud. Look as this goes on in John 14. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 18 of John 1. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. God's presence was in that cloud. God came down upon the mountain and He spoke to Moses within that cloud. And now that cloud is within the camp of the children of Israel, but they cannot go into that cloud. Only Moses can talk with God, and only Aaron can enter into that Holy of Holies. But in Jesus Christ, everything that was in that cloud is revealed. For He has made the Father known. He has made God known. As we know Jesus Christ and how He has lived upon this earth, as He has dwelled upon this same planet that we live on, we know that God is with us. That God, through Jesus Christ, has been revealed in a much greater way than He was revealed in the Old Testament. And that He is present here upon this earth. Well, notice then the last few verses of Exodus 40. Verses 36 through 38. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, during all of their travels. As the Israelites left the camp, God, the cloud would be in their midst as they were not traveling, and as they were to go different places, the cloud would lift above their camp, and they would follow the cloud and go as far as the cloud took them. God's presence was with them in that tabernacle and in that cloud for the rest of their traveling days. God's presence would be with them until they reached the promised land of rest that God had for His people, those people whom He has saved. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, we read that God is also present with His church in a much greater way than they ever knew. In Acts chapter 2, we read of the day of Pentecost. And we read here that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. God's Spirit, God's presence, is no longer distance from His people and from His church. The Israelites could enter the courtyard, but they could not go into the holy place or into the Holy of Holies. But because of the Lamb of God, because of Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection, God dwells with His people in their hearts. His Spirit has come upon the people of His church. His Spirit is with you. His Spirit will guide you and direct you, just as the cloud directed the people of Israel, till He takes you to the promised land. You see, there are two main events in the book of Exodus. Two events that cannot be separated because they are closely tied together. The event of the Passover and God's deliverance and the redemption of the people, and the event, because of the Passover, that God dwells with his people. They are his people that he has saved, and he dwells within their midst. When we come to know Christ, when we serve him as his people, these two things happen to us. The Israelites had to wait a whole year before God's presence came down to dwell in their midst. But for us, it happens all at once. As soon as you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, as soon as you know the salvation he has provided through his death and resurrection on the cross, as soon as you know that he has freed you from slavery and brought you to himself, his Spirit comes upon you and he dwells within you, his temple of the Holy Spirit here upon this earth. This is the story of salvation. This is the story of the life of God's people, of how they should live, of how they should know and understand what it means to be a part of God's kingdom, and to know the joy of the fact that Jesus Christ brings you into the cloud. The cloud settled upon the tabernacle, and God's presence was in the Holy of Holies. The Old Testament people stood at a distance, but Jesus Christ has come. And through the forgiveness of sins that he has given, through his Spirit dwelling within you, he has brought you into the cloud, into the presence of God, where someday, when you reach the end of your journey, his presence you will be in for all eternity. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the conclusion of the book of Exodus and how it points us to understand how you dwell with us. For Lord, what a glorious thing it was for the Israelites to see the cloud go from the top of the mountain into their very camp. Yet, Lord, how much more glorious is it for us to know that through the death and the resurrection of your Son, you have caused your presence, your Spirit, to come upon us as your people and as your church. Lord, we are now your temples. You dwell within us as your people. And we pray, O God, that as you lead us and guide us to the promised land of rest, that you may cause us to live as your temples, that you may cause us to live worthy of the presence of Christ that is within us. And help us, Lord, as your people, to know and understand your dwelling place, to live our lives for you in such a way that your presence upon this earth is radiant and bright to all the peoples who do not know you. Lord, as your people, we give thanks to you for bringing us into the cloud, for bringing us into heaven itself through our union with Jesus Christ, for taking us sinners in bondage to our sins and freeing us from our sins and bringing us to Jesus. Help us, Lord, as your people, to rejoice in the way that you have saved us. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.